Welcome into the Titans Wire podcast, brought to you by TitansWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group's NFL Wire Network. I am the managing editor of the Titans Wire, Kyle Madsen. Joining me today is senior contributor Justin Mello. The Titans coming off a big 36-22 win over the Indianapolis Colts, snaps an 11-game losing streak to the Colts. And Justin, this game started out ugly. Marcus Mariota threw a pick six to make it 19-9 early in the third quarter, and it looked like just a third consecutive ugly Titans performance, and then a switch flipped. They scored 27 of the final 30 points and turned this game into a 14-point Titans win.
We'll give Marcus and the team a ton of credit for being able to turn it around after that pick six. I thought it was incredibly demoralizing. I'm not going to lie. I thought that game was probably over.
Yeah.
After that happened, and I mean, give them a ton of credit. A lot of spirit, a lot of fight. They showed a lot of fight out there to come back and win this game, as you mentioned, scoring 27 of the final 30 points.
Yeah, and I guess we'll get right to it. The story of the day was Marcus Mariota getting the start under center, and he was outstanding. I mean, he had his best game of the year, 23 of 32 for 306 yards, a touchdown, a pick. He only took one sack, 99.2 passer rating. And I think the bigger thing here, and we talked about this off air, was it would have been easy for him to throw that pick six and say, you know what, my leg hurts, I'm done, or just kind of go into a shell. But he came out and seemed to play better after that. And I think that's something this team is going to look to and use as momentum going forward, because this team loves Mariota. And they see him clearly injured on one leg go out there and put together the performance he did and put the team on his back like he did. I think that's going to be big, not only for this game, but moving forward for the rest of the season.
Well, yeah, given the circumstances that he was dealing with heading into this game, I don't even think the stat sheet does his performance justice. No. I thought, as you mentioned, coming into this game, playing on what we clearly saw was just one leg. He had no ability to navigate. He didn't really navigate the pocket at all, and he didn't run a single time, which is probably the first time he's done that in his pro career. It was an incredibly gutsy performance from the face of the franchise.
Yeah, and you mentioned that not moving around the pocket, and that's such a fascinating thing, because everybody thinks of Marcus Mariota and the Oregon Ducks and this spread zone read option offense where he's running around, but he didn't even move around in the pocket last night. He was dropping back, getting to his spot, making reads, and letting it go. And it was the best we've seen him look as a passer in a long time.
As you mentioned, hopefully this will kind of be a launching pad for both him and the Titans as a team to sort of turn this thing around. You know, they're 3-3. It was a massive division win. Last week on the podcast when we previewed this game, I think we said 100 times how important this game was.
Yeah.
Couldn't fall to 2-4. Couldn't let the Colts losing streak continue. Couldn't fall to 1-2 in the division. They avoided all of those things by winning this game last night, and you have to hope that it's going to be the turning point for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and I think what we saw last night from this offense was a glimpse of what we could see from them for the rest of the year. I think it just took a while for them to figure out how to get the rest of their weapons involved. It was a lot of DeMarco Murray, it was a lot of Delanie Walker, it was a lot of Rishard Matthews, and that just wasn't working, as we clearly saw. But last night they totaled 473 yards, they had 305 through the air, 168 on the ground. And I think this is the peak of what we're going to see from this team. And when they're at their peak, we're going to see this for four quarters, game in and game out, I feel like, because that was, all things considered, a dominant offensive performance. And they're without Corey Davis. They're without Marcus Mariota being fully healthy. And despite a sluggish start, you have to be encouraged by what you saw over the final 30 minutes.
Well, as you mentioned, it was great to see them get all the weapons involved. It's not just about Murray or Henry, and it's not just about Matthews and Walker. Mike Mularkey mentioned today on the Taywan Taylor long touchdown pass, which ultimately is the play that won the game, that four Colts were covering Delanie Walker. So I think that's huge. You can look to a guy like Taywan Taylor in that situation, and he can make a play. He proved it last night. You know, Jonnu Smith had a crucial catch. Eric Decker played his best game in a Titans uniform. He had 90 receiving yards. I think he made 8 catches. Even Jalston Fowler, give the fullback credit. He came in a lot of crucial situations and really blew guys up at the point of attack.
Yeah, they were outstanding last night. I mean, everybody you just mentioned, Eric Decker, 7 for 88. Rishard Matthews, 4 for 69. And I think the biggest play of the game was that 3rd and 12 where Mariota connected with Matthews on the sideline. That was a big time throw and a great catch by who's become the Titans' leading receiver. Yeah, the long touchdown to Taywan Taylor. I mean, these are just the guys they had to get involved. And there were clearly ways to get everybody the ball. They just hadn't figured it out. And last night they did. And I think that's something they're going to be able to use moving forward, because when they're spreading the ball around like that, Mariota completed passes to 7 different receivers. Derrick Henry had 19 catches. The Titans are now 6-1 when he gets 10-plus carries. I think I said catches. Rushes for Derrick Henry. I mean, this was the Titans at their very best, and it came when they needed it the most. In the second half of a game where they were really bad all game. They scored 3 points in the first, 6 points in the first quarter, 3 in the second, 6 in the third, all on field goals. And then they finally put it together with 21 points in the fourth. And it was very much the best this Titans team has looked really all year, even including the games against Seattle and Jacksonville. I think the offense looked even better than they did in those games.
Well, it continues the trend that we've been talking about what feels like all year long is the slow start,
yeah.
And then it just exploding in the second half. We saw it against Jacksonville, we saw it in Seattle, and we saw it last night. So it'll be really interesting to see if that's a trend that continues going forward, or if, as we mentioned off air, if they sort of got this thing figured out last night with the way they spread it around over 300 passing yards and 170 yards on the ground. So it'll be really interesting to monitor that going forward.
I think the biggest thing we learned last night from the offense, before we switch to the defense here, but I think the biggest thing we learned last night from the offense was that Derrick Henry has to be involved. I mean, it was just very clear by the end of the game on that last touchdown run. If you go back and watch it, I was rewatching the game today. Nobody on the Colts defense, they were gassed. They were exhausted. Nobody on the Colts defense had any desire to tackle Derrick Henry. And there was nobody wanted to touch him that late in the game.
Do you want to tackle him?
No, I don't want to tackle him ever. I wouldn't try and tackle him on the first play of the game, much less the last one. But I think that's a good recipe. He's averaging over seven yards a carry in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think he is a big, fast human that has fresh legs late in games, and it allows him to do things like he did last night. The longest run of his career is 72 yards, put him over 100, the 100-yard mark for the first time in his career. And it's just, that's, I think, what we need to continue to see, is him getting 15 to 20 carries. And even if it's forcing those carries at some point, they wear the defense down. They take a toll tackling him. And that's just something that the Titans are going to have to continue doing.
Yeah, I think Malarkey mentioned something today regarding Derrick Henry being their fourth quarter running back, and it makes a ton of sense. You almost feel like it's part of the strategy that Malarkey and Robiskie enter a game with. Okay, you saw, what was it, 5 or 6 field goals before they scored a touchdown last night, and it was, you know, let's stick around, keep this thing close, stay in the game, and by the time that fourth quarter comes around, they're not going to be able to keep up with us anymore. And that's exactly what happened last night.
One concern from this game, I think, because I think the slow starts on offense might just be a reality of trying to wear teams down. They may break off a couple of big plays here and there that get them some scores early in games, but they've scored 3 first-half touchdowns all year, all of them on the ground. They average 5.8 yards per play in the first half, 8.3 in the second. Their rushing yards per attempt go up from 3.6 to 6 in the second half. I mean, their passing yards per attempt go up 5.7. to 7.6 in the second half. I mean, this is a second half team, and I think a lot of that has to do with the way they try and grind teams down in the first half. Now, on the other side of the ball, while the offense is kind of figuring it out, the defense needs to be able to hold up. And they did okay last night. They held Indianapolis to 13 points, but they got a couple of big stops down in the red zone. But they were outstanding in the second half. The Colts put together just 3 points. The Titans got a big fourth down stop late in the fourth quarter on a tremendous play by Wesley Woodyard, going out and tracking down Jacoby Brissett on a designed rollout. I still don't know how to feel about this defense. It's obvious there's missing pieces, and this isn't ever going to be a top 10 defense at the players they currently have. But are you confident in this defense moving forward that as this unit's currently constructed, they can win the division and make some noise in the playoffs?
I do think they can win the division with this defense. Now, going forward, I'm not super confident, to be honest with you, but I think Dick LeBeau is probably looking at his unit right now after the debacle in Houston 2 weeks ago and said, okay, we came back and we allowed 16 points to Miami. Now, you go into last night, and they allowed, I believe it was 16 points against the Colts. Colts finished with 22, but they had a pick six in there where Vinatieri ended up missing the extra point.
Right.
So you're looking at 16 points against Miami, 16 points against Indianapolis. You got to feel pretty damn good about that. If they continue, if they were to average 16 points allowed per game, they're going to win almost all their games. So I think that's something they can hold their heads on and say, you know what? We're staying in games. We're keeping it close. And you feel like, again, similar to the conversation we're having on the offense, you know, they play that soft zone. They play 10, 15 yards off their guy at times, which can be infuriating to watch. But it seems like they just hang in there. They got this bend but don't break mentality. And they stick around. And then, as you said, in the second half, they just pin their ears back and go after you.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the biggest thing is can they hang around enough that they blitzed 70% or 30% of the pass plays last night. 70% of those blitzes came in the second half. And the reason they can do that is because they are hanging in the game. They are sticking around. And I think the worst case scenario we saw in Houston, where the Titans turned the ball over, Houston goes up 21-0, and now everything's in disarray. But if the Titans have it their way, their defense might give up a few points in the first half, but if they can get after the quarterback in the second half and bring extra pressure, I think this defense will be fine.
The coaching staff deserves a ton of credit for heading into halftime last night and coming out with the correct adjustments, clearly, because, yeah. I mean, the Colts offense couldn't, in the first half, they looked unstoppable. Titans had no answer for the Colts offense in the first half.
Yep.
Then in the second half, it was like, okay, the Colts can't even get a first down all of a sudden.
Yeah. It was amazing watching because in their in the Colts' final two drives, I think the Titans brought extra rushers every play. At least it seemed like it. Because Brissett went from having all day to running for his life in one quarter. And it was an incredible adjustment by the coaching staff.
Absolutely. You saw Walden on the field a ton. I didn't really see Walden come off late in that game, and he's in there with both Morgan and Arakpo chasing the quarterback. He had a couple corner blitzes. He had some safety blitzes. Wesley Woodyard blitzed a couple times. So, yeah, they were just bringing everybody they got. And, again, side note, but I think we mention it every week, but is Wesley Woodyard playing out of his mind or is he playing out of his mind?
God, he is incredible, man. There was that one game against the Seahawks where he really stood out, and it was like, man, that was a good game for Wesley Woodyard. And then that's just how he's been since. And he's flying around. That stop he made on Brissett last night was incredible.
It was insane. And this is not a guy who's in his second or third year in the NFL. He's a veteran. He's a guy you expect to maybe have lost a step, especially, you know, speed-wise. But to make that shoestring tackle just short of the first down, it's what won them the game. It was an amazing play by the leader of the defense.
Yeah, and that's the kind of play they'll need going forward from guys like him, because Derek Morgan and Brian Arakpo just have not been effective rushing off the edge. You mentioned Eric Walden; he's probably been their best player coming off the edge this year when he's in the game. But they're gonna need some other guys to be able to come in and apply pressure on the quarterback. And if that means sending Wesley Woodyard, Avery Williamson, and as you mentioned last night, and safeties got involved, That's gonna have to be the name of the game on defense, is forcing quarterbacks to get rid of the ball, because the Titans' corners are fine until a quarterback has all day to sit back there and throw, because they don't have that lockdown, shutdown corner who's going to be on a receiver's hip no matter where he goes. But if they only need to cover him for a couple of seconds, they're fine. It's just going to be a matter of if the pass rush can get there, and they showed last night that they can when they're allowed to pin their ears back and just go.
And truthfully, I think you can say that about almost every single NFL defense.
Sure. Right.
I don't think there's many defensive units around the league whose corners can stick with receivers for 4 or 5 seconds. It
right.
just doesn't happen. Right? You might have one corner who can do that, but no team has three corners that can do that.
Yeah.
So, I'm in total agreement with you on that. I think Morgan and Arakpo, they need more out of them, and I imagine they will get more out of them going forward. But last night, it was nice to see them be able to get creative when they're not getting what they need out of their two edge rushers, right? Bringing Walden. I saw Logan Ryan have a blitz that was incredibly effective. I believe Brissett threw the ball away on that play. You know, you blitz Kevin Byard. He's a really underrated blitzer. He gets home in a hurry. So I like to see the fact that they were able to get creative last night and create pressure.
Yeah, so hopefully we see more of that going forward. Now let's look ahead. It was a nice win against the Colts. The Titans actually sit atop their division now because they have the best division record at 2-1. It's the first time the Titans have been 2-1 through the first 6 weeks, or had two division wins in the first 6 weeks since 2011, I believe. So this is a chance for them to get over that hump of winning division games. Something they haven't been the last few years, but they've done it early on. We talked coming into the year about how important it was going to be to win those division games with three in the first 6 weeks, and they've won two of them, which sets a good standard moving forward. But their next game, next Sunday, or I guess this upcoming Sunday, October 22nd, depending on when you're listening to this. Right now it's Tuesday evening, but the Titans are at the Browns on Sunday. And there's not a lot. The Browns are bad.
Yes, they are.
And the Titans just have to win. There's not a lot of strategy that needs to be talked. If they play their game, they're in there.
Absolutely. One thing I will say is Titans have to be incredibly weary of this being a trap game.
Yeah.
You know, this is a league that I've followed closely for a very long time now, and if you come to an NFL game, it doesn't matter who you're playing, if you show up to an NFL game unprepared, if you show up to an NFL game thinking you're going to run these guys over, only giving half your effort, then you're going to get your butts kicked. So the Titans cannot take the Browns lightly. They shouldn't take the Browns lightly. They're 3-3, so you know their record tells them that they're not good enough to take anyone lightly right now.
Right.
Still out here trying to prove that they're supposed to be taken seriously. So they got to show up ready for this game. They cannot go into this game unprepared. It's on a short week. It's an away game, and it's after a massive emotional division win on primetime television. They must prepare for this game and take the Browns seriously.
Yeah, and I think they will, especially with the bye week coming after that. I think they're really going to go all out against the Browns, knowing they have that week 8 bye. Which is coming at a good time. If they can get that W, get to 4-3, they have the bye week to prepare for the Ravens, who are not good. They are not nearly as good as their 3-3 record shows. Then they get the Bengals. Then they're at the Steelers and at the Colts. So it's a very big stretch of games for them coming up after the bye week. And I think it's good that they get that bye week in between because I think it's going to be hard to overlook the Browns when your next game's not for 2 weeks.
Well, I agree, and that should be the strategy that the team takes with them to Cleveland. I don't even think anyone knows who Cleveland's starting at quarterback yet. I don't think Cleveland knows who they're starting at quarterback next weekend.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be DeShone Kizer, but either way, whoever they put back there, they're not very good. And I think the motivation for the Titans here is that they haven't gone in and really just blown somebody out yet. They haven't had a huge first quarter, a huge first half, where they've just been up 25 points at halftime and the game is wrapped. And I think that's what they need to aim for against a team like Cleveland, who doesn't have a win yet. I think you have to go in and not let them hang around, because if Cleveland goes in, they're winless, they go into half only down, you know, 9-6 or 6-3, that's the kind of game where things can get ugly. But if you go in and put it on them right away, like I said, go up 21 points, I think you're going to see Cleveland pretty much roll over in the second half. And so I think it's going to be very important for the Titans to get out to a fast start if they're going to ever get out to one this season.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the Titans have played some really interesting games with the Browns as of late, and they haven't been good for the Titans. I want to say the last game they played, Titans won by 2 points. I think it was like 28-26, and it was a game that Cleveland mounted a crazy comeback near the end, and I believe there was an onside kick at the end that was horrifying, that I think Cleveland actually recovered, and they just couldn't go on to win the game. But the game before that, I want to say, Johnny Manziel torched them recently. It was his first career win against the Titans, and he torched them. And there was another game where I believe Cleveland had their biggest comeback win in franchise history, where the Titans were up like 21 or 24 points.
Yikes.
And blew it. And that was, I remember that game. It was horrible, and it was demoralizing. I think it was Brian Hoyer was quarterbacking the Browns at the time, and he led some epic comeback that was just pathetic on all fronts. So Titans got to take the Browns seriously, show up to Sunday prepared, take care of business. They should win the game easily if they show up ready.
When you mentioned that game last year, it's actually kind of an interesting parallel. The Titans won that game to move to 3-3, while the Browns fell to 0-6. And it was exactly what I was talking about. The Titans only went into halftime up 14-13 in that game. You just can't let the Browns hang around. And so I think that's going to be the motivation for the Titans to not overlook them, is to finally go out and dominate a team start to finish, which is something they haven't done this year. And if they're going to do it against anybody, it's going to be against this Browns team that, outside of Myles Garrett, just doesn't have many good players.
I actually watched a bit of the Browns-Texans game on Sunday. And, you know, getting ready for this game. And Kevin Hogan was a complete abomination at the quarterback position. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was one of the worst quarterback performances I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he had a nice second half against who did they play the week before?
Yeah, he came in at half, and he did have a good game. You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
He finished that game 16 for 19, and they named him the starting quarterback at the press conference right immediately after the game. But he was really bad on Sunday. And when I say really bad, I mean really, really bad. Like, I watched him just sail balls over open receivers' heads and just tossing it. I think he threw three interceptions. A lot of them were really just his own doing. It wasn't a,
right.
You know, there wasn't no pressure. There wasn't even a tight contested window. He was just missing guys completely.
Yeah, I wasn't even impressed with him at Stanford. So I doubt I'm going to be impressed with him after a couple years in the NFL where he hasn't really played. So either way, the Browns quarterback situation is rough. The Titans just have to go in and win. I mean, there's not a lot else to say. They have to win this game because if you're losing to the Browns, you have some bigger problems.
You're right, and I'd like to see them dominate this game, as you mentioned. Wouldn't it be great to give Mariota and the hamstring a head start on the bye if he doesn't have to play the fourth quarter of this game?
Oh, and I think if the Titans are up by any considerable margin, they're pulling Mariota as fast as possible.
Oh, yeah. I think if they're up 21 in the third, late in the third, or early in the fourth, I expect to see Matt Castle in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to be handing the ball off anyway, so no reason to risk it with him. So I think that's all I've got for this week. No guests this week. But we're working on some getting some more Titans players on for you. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the interview with Philip Supernaw. Justin, you got any final thoughts for us?
No, I think we've covered it. You know, again, this is a game they can't lose. So, you know, they just got to show up to Cleveland, take care of business, head into the bye 4-3. They'll feel pretty good at where they're at. If they go into the break 4-3, then they'll still be first place in the division. And you look at yourselves in the mirror and say, okay, let's gear up for a second half run here, and they get Corey Davis back. So everything will kind of fall into place if they take care of business on Sunday.
Absolutely. So that's been the Titans Wire podcast. That was Justin Mello. Follow him on Twitter at JustinM_NFL. You can follow me at Kyle A. Madsen, and make sure to follow the Titans Wire on Twitter as well, at the Titans Wire. And you can find us on Facebook at the same address. Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you guys next week.